We have here in this second hour, third night's lecture, something more about technique. We've been going into theory pretty heavily. What do you do with this theory? What you do? You got preclers in there, haven't you? And the preclers sitting there, and you're sitting there, and I can always tell you something to do, by the way. You can always pick up a copy of self-analysis, just turn it open at random at the back and tell them to mark up something. And if you do that long enough, he'll get well of whatever's wrong with him. I mean, we're operating from that beautiful surety. Now, why? Let me ask you candidly, just why does he get well from that surety? Well, it isn't because you have a good professional manner or anything of the sort. Just because you're finding present time for him. So, as I said in an earlier lecture, you're sitting there and the preclear is sitting there and you're supposed to say something. Well, the silences get too wide. You can always say, come up to present time. It's always a good shot. You can always say that. If he suddenly starts to froth and scream and so forth, and you entirely, completely lose your head, never lose it to the point where you can't say, hey, take your hand and feel the wall. In other words, come up to present time. Don't tell him, by the way, come up to present time. You're liable to bring the incident up to present time. Incidents don't care whether they obey or the preclear obeys. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get this fellow in present time. Well, let's not disabuse ourselves of this fact. It's all right if we work like old-time navigators out in the public, you understand. It's perfectly all right to tell them that it's very, 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 very complicated. Perfectly all right. That's a legitimate navigator. You sit up in the bridge and he'd fool around with his sextant and he'd go look at his chronometer and he'd scratch his head and he'd run something up on the slide rule and he'd open up log books and he'd write in them and open up Dreisenstock and Adjutan and 214 and 218 and go out and look at the sun again and scratch his head and go back in and look very perplexed and somebody comes up and touches one of his lead pencils and he goes into the most tremendous dramatic rage. Any actress would be proud to have be able to act as mad as a navigator can act who is confronted with the fact that somebody wants to touch a pencil or look at a sextant, or inquire even vaguely into the field of navigation. Because that's a big mystery. He wants hands off. That makes him a big man. So he's a big man. Actually, truth be told, he did his navigation 2 hours before he went through all of these motions. All right. Any body of knowledge tends to become a mystery. It tends to become a mystery in direct ratio, though, to there being nothing there. The less there is there, the more of a mystery people have to make out of it. And we don't have too much here that's a mystery, so the chances of our trying to make this a mystery to people are quite slight. But at the same time, for professional reasons, you might wish to indulge in some hocus pocus, make the preclear think that it was pretty arduous and that you thought pretty hard about the whole thing. Well, if you ever do that, don't get so you believe your own act. Always remember what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring the preclear to present time. When you've got him to present time, then anything can happen with him. You can do anything with him now that you want to do if you have him in present time. And if you don't have him in present time, you won't be able to do very much with him. Now, let's think in terms of the state of clearing. Now, what is really the first necessity to get somebody out of his head and 2 feet back of his body? That Satan has to be in present time. That's really all there is to it, that Satan has to be in present time. That's all. The body had to be in present time? No. If the body were in present time, it wouldn't be there. It is a facsimile composed of many facsimiles that are stuck at various stages on the track. And you could audit facsimiles forever out of a body. The way to handle a body is really to handle the theta. Now, you don't have to go in for theta clearing, you know, to make a body well. You don't have to ever tell your preclear that he is a theta, or to be 2 feet back of his head, or make some space, or go up and sit in the middle of the sun. You don't have to tell him any of these things. He will recover from whatever he is bogged down in if you get him as a theta in present time. Why do you get him as a theta in present time? Highest capability of the theta is to manufacture space, forms, energy, artwork, in terms of mock-ups. So if you just made mock-ups out here, of course, you know, he'll make mock-ups down the track, too. You could catch a fellow doing that, he keeps saying. And I just keep making these mock-ups and making these mock-ups, and I just keep making these mock-ups, and this nothing ever happens. If that occurs to you, all you do is have to ask him, well, now, where are you putting the mock-ups? Three questions here. You might as well put these down. Where are you putting the mock-ups? Now, the next one. Are you certain there's a mock-up there? And are you certain it's yours? Where is it? Is it? And is it yours? Those three things apply there. Now, he'll work and work and work, and he'll say, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. You just keep putting the mock-up on the mantle, keep putting the mock-up on the table. Use mess space. That's a good place to find present time. It's right here, all the time. Just use some space here. And tell him, put the mock-up on the table, and put the mock-up on the table, and put the mock-up on the table. And then he's getting it. Well, I got a mock-up on the table. You say, all right, now what do you have to do to it to make it... To make it yours, he's certain it's there because he said, I have the mock-up on the table, you see. You'd say, well, what do you do to make it yours? Oh, that's different. Never thought of it before, but it's not my mock-up. No. Don't know what it is, but... Well, the way it becomes his, the test, is it his, is can he change it? And if he can change it, it's his. He'll agree with that. If I can change it, it's mine. Okay? So we have a mock-up, and you have him put a green hat on it. And then have him put a purple tie on it, or something of the sort, and then turn it all orange, or something. And he'll say, yeah, it's mine. It is on the table. That's the same, that's the first two questions answered in the same sense. It's on the table, and it's mine. And if you can bring him to that point, he will suddenly say, big feeling relief, no matter what this mock-up's about. Why? What's this feeling really? Is it some necromancy? Is it because the brilliums of Ergosis have suddenly dehydrated or something? No, it's because he came to present time. That's that sudden feeling. Pong, he's here. Get the idea? That's a funny feeling, by the way, coming into present time. Some of you might feel it someday. Pre-clears will do the darndest things of this sometimes, you know, by the way. They'll slide from way down the track someplace up. You tell somebody who's way off down the track, by the way, his communication lag is almost the direct index to how far he is down the track, too. And you say to this pre-clear, you say, all right, I'll come up at present time. Had him off down the track someplace for some reason or other, best known to you. And he's got his eyes shut, and now always say hello when he opens his eyes. He expects to be greeted. He's been someplace and expects to be greeted. And you know, he'll be kind of upset if you don't say hello. After you've audited a pre-clear for a dozen sessions and never said hello or something of the sort when you told him to come up to present time, he sometimes will complain to you. He feels sort of strange about it and kind of lonesome about it, like he isn't really appreciated on the session or something. He runs 50% of the stuff he runs just to get attention from you as an auditor anyway. So Here he is. There's a lag time then, and it's almost the same as his communication lag time. It's how long and how far he is away from present time. You say, you walk down the street, you meet a fellow down the street, and you say, hello, and he says, oh, hello. He's that far out of present time. It's very interesting. If you were to have a pre-clear on the couch, and if you were to take this 30 seconds or 15-second lag or something of the sort, and you were to time most pre-clears on the couch, pre-clears who were usually in present time, you see, and if you were to find out how far back they had to be to take them 15 seconds to get up to present time, you would know then how far this fellow was on the street out of present time. It's a very interesting index. That's communication lag index. All right. Now, when you're sitting there then, and he's sitting there, you can always say, come up to present time. Or you can always open up self-analysis, read something on self-analysis. Or do anything else that will bring your pre-clear as a Thetan into present time. That's all there is to it. That's a test of a valid technique. Does it tend to bring the pre-clear into present time? If it doesn't tend to bring the pre-clear into present time, then it's no damn good, to be colloquial. I'll give you some of these, how to bring a pre-clear into present time. It sounds idiotic to you, some of this stuff. You say, reach out and touch the wall with your hand. Hit it. Sounds silly, you know, but very often a fellow will hit it, and you'll see him do this. He'll hit the wall, and then he'll hit it two or three times. That was his lag, his signal from way back where he was, and then he comes, well, what do you know? What have you done there? You've changed his communication status. His condition of communication and his presence in present time are two data which can be compared one to the other. What is the condition of his communication? Communication being sight, sound, taste, touch, organic sensation, and 55 other perceptions. What then, you know, I have to know these things. When we figure them out once, put them on the bulletin board, stay up there 2 weeks, and everybody's interested, and nobody knew them 3 weeks later. Now, there is his condition of communication. Is established by the length of time it takes him to perceive after he should have perceived. And that is how far he is out of present time. Therefore, being in present time and the communication condition are comparable. And communication only apparently applies to the body. It always applies to the Thetan. It only apparently applies to the body. It always applies to the Thetan. Where do we get the last 2 millimeter jump? We have this tremendous fancy hearing system. Oh, man, it goes in there and comes out there and goes round and round, and little hammers go this way and that, and it travels down neurons and spurones and dives around a couple of holes and aspids and out someplace else. And what's important about that whole channel? There is the last 2 millimeters when it leaves the last neuron and touches the Thetan's area of perception. That's all that's important about it. The body is deaf as a gatepost unless it reaches the Thetan. Really? That's a fact. As far as the Thetan is concerned, as far as the reasoning processes are concerned, this is true. So when you say communication, you mean Thetan. You don't mean the body, you don't mean the ears, you don't mean the eyes or anything else. You mean the Thetan. And that's all the communication you're trying to rehabilitate, is the Thetan's communication level. And it's as good as he is in present time, and it's as bad as he is far from present time. You're trying to change the condition of his communication, then. Trying to change the condition of the communication abilities of the Thetan. And you're doing that by bringing the Thetan into present time. Now, you can further it by taking him out of his body and making him communicate openly from a distance from the body, and you'll find his communication setup is better. Isn't that odd? He communicates much worse. I'll throw one in here about the fire while I'm thinking about it. He's counting on the body to stop things, by the way, amongst other things. He's trying to get the body acts as something that will stop things for him. He's found out he can't stop things, so he uses the body to stop things. And he doesn't want to get out there in that naked, cold space all by himself with things, nothing in front of him to stop him. Of course, there's nothing for them to hit if he's there, but he hasn't figured that out. That's one thing he doesn't dare be, is nothing. All right. That is just an aside remark. Let's get right back on the main line of this, then. You can do anything with this Thetan if he's in present time. Now, it's not unusual to find the Thetan in a couple of thousand different times simultaneously. He can be that scrambled. He can get that scrambled because he's fighting so hard to be orderly that he gets scrambled. He presses so hard against chaos that he walks himself into the middle of chaos. In other words, he uses chaos as something he's fighting, and because he's fighting it, he closes terminals with it, and he becomes the chaos terminal himself. So he can be all over the track. It's nothing for a Thetan to move out of the body with a visio. He thinks this ceiling is the ceiling of a hospital room. He's actually sort of looking at the hospital room, you see. He's all over space. His space is all mixed up, and that's all that's mixed up about him. He looks at the windows, and the windows are the windows of his boyhood home. The ceiling is his hospital room. The door over there is the door to an ammunition carrier, and it's really fouled up. What do you do about this? You do the same thing with the Thetan that you would do with the preclear's body. Bang. Locate present time. That's all. Get him to clip it. Get him to fumble around until he get a hold of it. Then have him mock something up, maybe. Push that over. Make him locate something. Get the idea? And any method that you would use for the fellow in the body to get him into present time, you would use to get the Thetan into present time. And it may not have occurred to you before that the Thetan could be out of present time if he were out of the body. Oh, yeah, your Thetan could be out of the body and out of present time, too. That takes some real doing. But that Thetan hasn't properly been in the body. He's never really closed terminals with that body. You say very easily to him, well, you'd be 2 feet back of your head. Heck, he's been six all along and didn't know it. So he moves up to 2 feet back of your head. And you think at this moment that you moved him out of his head. No, you didn't. He didn't know where he was. He couldn't tell you what you did, but he really wasn't in his body. He strictly fruitcake. He just, at that point, he just matter and hatter. Very often. Because you call his attention to the fact that he is someplace. And being someplace is dangerous. Beingness is danger. You just said you are something. You'll notice back down the track anytime when anybody in the family said, what do you want to become in life? He went, meow! Anytime anybody said to him, are you the doorman here? Or something of the sort, he'd throw a fit. Anybody that tried to assign any assignment of beingness to him could count on a ruckus. How simple that is. You see, he couldn't be because he didn't have any space, because he didn't have any space because all space is dangerous. He can't be in space, but he is there. Now he's able to justify this is really a beautiful piece of logic, you see. He's got to be something, and something is space, but he isn't in any space. But he is something. Now, this fellow is just going around and around. Now, what level, then, are you interested in, really, basically, primarily? What's your first level of auditing, if you're interested in? First level of auditing is always communication. I don't care what else you're interested in. You get interested in communication first and foremost. You better be interested in communication, because that's your first step. You say hello to your pre-clear, don't you? Well, you're auditing right there. And that's communication. So from there on, throughout the remainder of the case, you remain very interested in communication. And you're only interested in one thing: changing the state of communication for the better in the knowledge of the pre-clear. I add that last rather snidely. As many an auditor has done a wonderful job of auditing, everybody knows it except the pre-clear. This is maddening. The only way the pre-clear knows it is has his communication level changed. His communication level hasn't changed. Now, you can change his communication level simply by bringing him to present time. Don't get that, by the way. This is so idiotically simple that you're liable to just let it slide. That's a fact. It's liable to be completely overlooked. Because the wildest changes you will get in some pre-clears, and the most change you will get in some pre-clears, is simply by locating present time accurately for them. You get a big change in your pre-clear. And what do I do when I say change? Well, of course, you're looking for a change of beingness. And if you want a change of beingness, you're going to have to do something about changing space. But he's only going to know if you've changed space if he is aware of a communication change. And by communication, I mean perception. I don't mean talk. I mean sight, sound, tactile. If he's changed those, good. Now, there's another type of communication level nobody's really been cognizant with. Nobody studied. Nobody knew it was there. And that's a perception known as space. That's amusing. You can go along and overlook that for ages. Space. They call it depth perception and mean something else. So don't think that it's an old one. It's not. It's new. Depth perception is finding out if something is as deep into space as another something into space. And that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ability to perceive space. And that is as valid a perception as sight or sound or hearing. Because on that depends what? What do you guess? Big joke on everybody. That's the only communication there is. Now, there's an exercise that you can pull with your pre-clear, and you will very often find present time for him and point up a lot of things and change his communication index simpler than you ever thought was possible, even with a solid case 5 or 6. You get him to put his anchor points out and bring them in again and see what he gets. He says, "My what?" "Well, just sort of get the idea of putting your beingness out there and, well, there's some birds out there. Now put your beingness out toward the birds and then pull back in and tell me what you get." "I get a black square." "Oh, all right. Push the black square out, pull it in again, push it out, pull it in again, push it out, pull it in again, take a look at it." "Well, what do you know? It's my grandpa's parrot. And I remember I left this parrot out of the cage one time, and he went all around the kitchen." "Well, do you listen to this story about the parrot?" "No, sir." "You tell him to put out his beingness again and pull it in again and put it out again. He'll kind of say, 'You know, it's a funny thing. I have a feeling like I could have done this all the time, but it just never occurred to me. And this, all this black stuff that's all over my face, it's a picture.' What do you know? It's a picture. And just by putting it away from me," he's telling you now, you see, "just by pushing it away from me and pulling it in and pushing it away and pulling it in a few times and pushing it away and pulling it in, I find it's a picture, what do you know, of my father who is dead." Where was this guy on the track? This guy was stuck at Papa's death. He couldn't see, could he? Therefore, he's suffering from loss, isn't he? Can't perceive is marked by loss. I'm not saying now can't perceive, may be marked by loss. I'm not saying, although many other authorities may differ, and Professor Wumpgala has very often written to the contrary, in some of the books which you read, if you go far enough out of present time like we are, you will discover that it has been said, although again, the Freudian school does not believe this, that occlusion as a black area over the face is caused by loss. Now we can just knock off all the prelude and just make a horrible, one of these terrible things that an authority just hates. I mean, they just get down and you can hear their teeth grind as they pound their head against the floor after you've said something like this. Occlusion is caused by loss. A good solid statement. Your five can't see, and your six can't see, and your seven isn't there to see anything. So where is your five stuck? Where's your six stuck? He stuck at the place where there was suddenly nobody to look at him. Somebody, son of a gun, up and died on him. It was a sudden loss of attention which had been formerly productive of an interchange of affinity. That's where he stuck, right there. He stuck in, just what I was telling you before, a sudden no attention. A sudden no attention. That's why he's got all Grandpa's somatics. That's why he's doing a life continuum on Grandpa. Where are these things? Where is the package? Where is this package of somatics and so forth? Believe me, it's a package. It's just like like some Rice Krispies or something of this sort. I'm going to send a bill to somebody for that radio plug. Anyway, it's just as much a package as that. A facsimile is a thing. Listen, a good thing out of his body, in good shape, can take these darn facsimiles that everybody's so scared of, you know, and he can throw them around like the guy with a hat act on the stage. That's a fact. They can go out and they will make puffs out in the yard, they will explode, and they'll do all sorts of things. If you just want to take piles of these things, see, and give them a heave up against a wall or something of the sort, things will actually happen with these things. Of course, people don't like to get that careless with facsimiles. One time we dumped a whole package of these facsimiles on a cat. And the cat said, meow! it wasn't his imagination either. By the way, the other night there was a poor old Siamese cat. He was a very self-respecting cat and a very proud cat. And he was walking across the yard and I happened to be outside. And this cat was walking very sedately, and I came out, and the cat was about to jump over the wall, so I said, "Hey, cat," at a distance of about maybe 25, 30 feet. So I just reached out and touched the far shoulder of the cat. Of course, it stung him like nothing, and it just froze him. And he looked at that shoulder, and he stopped, and he looked back at me. And he says, "My God, we're in for it again. I can see this coming. We had this probably once before someplace else." You could just see wheels turning in this cat's head. And every time he'd start to jump over the wall, I'd pull him off the wall and set him back down on the pavement again. Dirty trick. A cat's hair is so conductive that he gets quite a jolt out of a beam that a thing puts out. Cat's hair is very conductive. Stand up, you put a beam over the top of the cat's hair, and you'll see his hair lift. Also, the cat won't like it. All right, that's communication at distance with beams. Now, when we've gone over the subject of stuck on the track, we find that there is a sudden contraction of space. At every place, the person is stuck on the track. There's less space there than there was immediately before there, and the more quickly it happens, the less space and the more stuck he is. And when you get a fellow in complete self-confidence with a communication between himself and another terminal, and he's getting an interchange with another terminal, all of a sudden the other terminal disappears, you get a protection of self, anchor points. He yanks in his anchor points. Because he's, why is he yanking his anchor points? Well, you could take this person, he's lost, and mock up this person, and you'll find two conditions exist. You would use matching terminals, you see. I mean, you have him put up Papa twice. Now, it's going to take him maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes or a half an hour to get Papa up there twice. Because he's going to have to feed in the second terminal. The first time he starts to feed it in, the first one goes too. And he has to put the first one back and feed in the second one again. And he keeps putting the second one in there, and he may be putting the second one in there for minutes and minutes and minutes and just go on putting that second one in there, and it's disappearing faster than he can perceive that he's put it there. So he'll get the idea after a while he can't put up any mock-ups and he can't put up any terminals, and he'll throw in the sponge. That's because the terminals are being soaked up in the occluded area faster then he can furnish energy to that area. But he'll eventually furnish enough energy to that area. He goes fast enough, he gets, all of a sudden, they'll be right there. Well, now, it doesn't matter how fast he does this, because there's just so much energy absorption going to take place. So he can do it over the space of 5 hours, or do it over the space of 5 minutes. Just because somebody hasn't got a mock-up out there, there's no reason he can't put a mock-up out there. It's just the fact that you, as an auditor, have got to keep kicking him along so that he keeps putting the mock-up there. And just knowing he's putting a mock-up there, even though he can't see it. And he keeps putting the mock-up there, and he puts 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 the mock-up there. All of a sudden he says, you know, for a minute there I had a top of an ear. Well, if he keeps this up, he will eventually get one mock-up, certainly, very good. Now start to put the second one up there, and you get into sudden trouble. Because the second one makes the first one disappear, so we got to put up two new mock-ups, and we just keep putting up mock-ups and putting up mock-ups, and all of a sudden we'll eventually get, he'll tell you with a great sigh of relief, you know, I've not only got two mock-ups sitting there, but they're sitting there quietly facing each other. And this is a great achievement, and it is. He solved also the problem that he had with that terminal. Well, you're going to find out this moment of loss. We take pre-clear A. Pre-clear A is a case level 5. He is so occluded that the realest thing you could possibly give him to see would be a very, very dark man in a dark suit in a dark cellar at midnight. Now, it's a very strange thing that all you'd have to do to tell this pre-clear is put your communication points out, now bring them in again. Now put them out, now put them in again. Now put them out, there's a picture over my face here. You say, what's the picture? Well, he said, I put it out, and put it in. It was a picture of my mother. He's not an occluded case anymore. This shouldn't happen to you. But you know what that occluded case will do if you let him? He'll run logic. He'll be very logical about his condition. He will figure everything under the sun is wrong with his case. He will be figuring when he should be auditing. He'll figure and figure and figure, and he will dodge and dodge and dodge and dodge. And he'll figure he's got to get rid of the blackness and pour it from here to there, and he's got to do this and got to do that. He's what? What's he dramatizing? Fight the terminal. Why? Because there's a hidden influence there. And the hidden influence says, I've got to find it out. There must be a riddle. There must be an answer here someplace. And I've got to find the riddle. And the riddle is always in the blackness. So I've got to keep racking through this blackness. And because it's a hidden area and it is dangerous, I don't dare then put out communicate the one thing, the solvency. I don't dare put out my communication points, but I have to keep those pulled in. Because if I put them out, and I'll get this about a file. If I put them out, they won't come back. Write that down as part of his case, because you've got to work with him here. You may find that his case cleans up a little faster if you mock up match terminals facing each other and he's afraid they won't come back. You'll find out that this is loss. And that's why loss is occlusion, because he can't put out anchor points anymore and pull them in, because if he put them out, they might not come back. And why? Because he had an anchor point out there, and its name was Papa, and it went away and didn't come back. So therefore, he can't put out any more points and bring them back, because the anchor point he had out there, which was his anchor point, and he made it, he knows this, That's his mistake, you see. He's identified the messed universe anchor points and depended on the messed universe for anchor points way above his own anchor points, and the only way he's going to perceive with two whoops and a collar button is for himself to put out his own anchor points and perceive with his own anchor points. That's the best way to perceive. But he's scared to do that because if he puts them out, they won't come back. And if he puts them out and they won't come back, then, of course, he isn't going to perceive anything, but there's going to be a hidden influence, and therefore he can't put them out because there's a hidden influence out there that takes things away, and that means he couldn't predict what happens, and that means he's wrong. That means he didn't understand what was going to happen, and the one thing, of course, the messed universe is not going to let you do is predict what happens because it's random and it's chaotic. So he can't predict what's going to happen, so therefore he doesn't dare put out an anchor point. So therefore he has an occlusion, and the blackness tells him that he's under the duress of a hidden influence, so he has to be logical about it. All right, let's go right from there into logic. Logic is a very simple matter of rationalization necessary to keep a terminal facing you. That's logic. It's the rationalization necessary to keep the terminal facing you. It's what you say to the terminal, keep the terminal interested so the terminal keep facing you and you keep getting attention. That's logic. All right. Now, let's get the deterioration of logic. Logic is based on the fact that one of the best ways of getting a terminal to face you, as I was telling you earlier, is to tell the other terminal that there's a hidden influence somewhere around the other terminal or make a demonstration there's a hidden influence. Of course, there is nothing that can hurt this other terminal, really, until somebody invents a hidden influence. The only thing anybody's afraid of is the hidden influence, all right? So logic is the search for the hidden influence. That's the goal of logic. And the hidden influence means, what am I going to alter the future? The first moment the person entered in, how am I going to alter the future? So the future, and predict it, so the future can't alter me. Now, the first moment, then, of survival was the first moment we had a human mind. And this human mind has been a very earlier mind, and the mind you're using as a human mind right now has been a mind for an awful long time, and it's been thinking out an awful lot of things, and it doesn't work any different than anything else. The reason you can't remember past periods when you were a mind, the reason why these periods are closed out, it's very interesting, is you have to keep them apart. You have to keep terminals apart. If you keep the terminals apart, believe me, you're not going to remember anything about the terminals. A lot of force exerted toward keeping terminals apart makes a lot of force exerted toward forgetting. If you exert enough force toward forgetting, believe me, you really remember. Why? It makes the terminal collapse and come in. Follow that? All right, you pass lies pile up on you. In other words, as you go living along, this human mind which we have working here is not a human mind. It's a Thetan mind. It's been in existence for an awful long time. If you want to study the human mind, you go get yourself a scalpel, you get yourself a bottle of formaldehyde, and you get yourself some brains down at the butcher shop, and you start cutting them up, and you'll have the stimulus-response system on which the body operates and which it keeps time with. It's a very interesting mechanism, and it's not a brain to be lightly disregarded as a very good machine. But it has its limitations, and it doesn't do very much in the way of what we think an analytical mind does. It's a reactive mind. If you want to know a description of the modus operandi of the body's mind, then study in Book 1 anything that says there about reactive mind. That's the way the body's mind works. That's the body. It works with neurons and synapses and all that sort of thing, but you'll never learn anything about the analytical mind or the behavior of the person himself, really, as a personality, unless you study the broad, full track level, the mind he's been with. He doesn't inherit this mind from the body. In other words, he's had it for an awful long time. And it works on this fashion. It is there to pose, observe, pose, and resolve problems relating to survival. Which means it is there to pose and resolve problems relating to beingness. It's how to keep on being. That's what it's trying to solve. How does he first become convinced he can't keep on being? He becomes convinced that he can't because all of a sudden he had a terminal disappear on him. That was a great shock. And he didn't have any warning, the terminal disappeared. So he figures out there must be something there, and he didn't know quite what was there, so he has the idea that there must have been a hidden influence. And if somebody encourages him along a little bit and says, yeah, it was a hidden influence, there's really a thing out there known as bananas, and they have peels, and that terminal slipped on this peel, and that's why you lost the terminal. Or you could tell him, well, now, really, those clouds over there are all sulfuric acid. It's in the vicinity of London. And those clouds devoured the terminal, and that's what happened to them because those clouds are very voracious, and that's a hidden influence over there. Or you could say it was Yahweh, or you could say it was almost anything. All right. Now, from that hidden influence, he tries to figure out some system by which he can predict what's going to happen to him. He's found out that he didn't know what's going to happen to him, just automatically. So now he's got to figure out some method of predicting what's going to happen to him. And now you can plot the cycle of the mind through the whole course of mysticism, logic, crystal gazing, predestination, everything you can think of. And these run into some of the most remarkable systems, telling fortunes by cards, consulting the gypsies. And what do you know? People have set up circuits that will give them hunches when something wrong is going to occur. Kind of reliable circuits, too. Interesting. And they're based on logic. They sub-brains, they figure out, and they figure out things and so on. And some people see the future as black when they're going to be bad, but they see it white when things are going to be good. And they will really use this to solve all their problems. They'll set up the problem and say, should I go to the show tonight? They see white. They say, sure, let's go to the show. They say, should I go to the show tonight? See black. They say, well, I won't go to the show. Well, it's just as good a mind as any other kind of mind. As a matter of fact, it's a two-valued stimulus-response mind that he's got set up there. It's really got some logic circuits in it. And if you took the percentages on it, you would find out the thing was right 60, 70% of the time. It's as good as anything else. There's another method that's much simpler than that, though. Why don't you just flip a coin? Just flip a coin, and you know something about the future. You'll be 50% right. All right, so all of this concatenation works out too. You get an organization of data. Now, you say, all the data in the present time and all the data of the past and so forth, and you go into the data of the past, and that gives you all the data in the present time, and let's see, now, the present time condition is so and so and so. In the past, and learned in school that there are two sides and to see, now, algebra. Yeah, that has something to do with that. Now, we work that out very carefully, and we find out next Tuesday we'll have beans. No, you say, that can't be right. I better go down to the gypsy and ask her. Because the devil himself, who invented it, that's why you must remember the eighth dynamic includes the devil, because the devil invented logic. By the way, he did traditionally. And when you're running matching terminals, you can take almost any pre-clear, and if you have him match the devil facing the devil, the first thing you know, he's going to tell you, you know, this fellow is reasonable. It makes me look kind of bad, doesn't it? Anyway. Anyway, here we have then the genus of logic. And logic is the gradient scale and comparisons of data which work out a smooth network of terminals and communication lines which deliver data in a prediction of future form or state of beingness. And if it's all matched up very nicely and so forth, you can do wonderful things with this thing called logic. But any time you're doing anything with logic, remember, I'll tell you a little story right now. It won't take very long. Survive was a word that sort of dived in inductively. Way back, 1937, sort of out of the blue, you get the idea? Inductive. It looked kind of reasonable, so I started working with it. An awful lot of logic has gone into this. An awful lot of mathematics has gone into it. Done an awful lot of good in this whole subject. And for the last 60 days, I have been integrating empirically only. That's a heck of a note, isn't it? Done 5,000 test combinations of material to get the plot. 5,000 factors combined together will make an awful lot of possible solutions. And I'll tell you how this came into being. I got what I'm going to tell you about later. Three levels how to run admiration processing very easily. Therefore, I had a sort of a test rack on which you could set up anything. I knew admiration processing and sympathy were right, so I set up a test rack and just started testing with preclearance, just testing. And one of the first things that showed up was this. It wasn't terminals. Terminals didn't have very much to do with it. It had to do with lines. Every time you did anything with terminals, all of a sudden there'd be a ghosty something would show up. So you could make strange factors suddenly blow into being, because we already knew by admiring the imperfections of a mock-up. It would clarify and become a better mock-up. So it was the line that was important, not the terminals. If something happens to the line, something happens to perception. Something can happen to the terminal without something happening to the line. What do you know? So it was lines that was important. And then, just after test, after test, after test, after test, after test, all of a sudden, logic. Now, that's silly. It'd just be silly that the word logic would set up on a wide experimental test base. Why should you set up logic at all for testing? But boy, you admire that logic, and the pre-clear goes, mm-hmm. He gets more somatics in less time than anything you want to count. Logic. Oh, no, what's the matter with this? Let's get another pre-clear. Let's make another test on this. This person's logical. Oh, no. We find out that what was wrong with people is they were logical here and logical there, and there's something awfully wrong with logic. All of a sudden, we get the interchanges of terminals, and the rest of the problem starts to work out. And then it hits a couple of more bugs. And we find that it should be communications about logic. No, it isn't. It's people who change your messed levels of communication who have been upsetting to you. And, of course, messed itself does that better than the people. What happens is people come in, you see, and they've been licked by the messed universe, just licked. They're cold. They might as well be on ice and shipped off to Frisco for burial on the subject of the messed universe. They've lost. Then they start in on you. They're going to change a being now because that's easier than changing the universe. They couldn't change the messed universe one hair. See? So now they're going to stop your communication lines and give you a good hard shove in the head and push you down to the bottom of the level. They're mad. You start looking this over, you'll find out none of these people have tried to improve your communication level or given you any method of doing so. You take literary criticism, you take any kind of criticism, you take correction, and what do you know? These people start correcting your communications, correct your communications, correct your communications. Everybody corrected your communications. We sort out the pre-clear's life, and this is one for you to put down in your notebook. Sort out the pre-clear's life for that person who attempted to change their methods of communication and run those people as matched terminals. And you will achieve a communication change on the part of your pre-clear. Simple, huh? You'll find out that there are only four or five people in his life who are really deaf on this. And these were the people who said to him, "Don't talk that way, Johnny. Oh, you meant and, not the. What did you say?" In other words, anything the little boy said, anything the little kid said, so forth, it was like somebody slapping a hand over his mouth saying, shut up, change it, get worse, be quiet, be still. And the one thing that the kid couldn't be was still. All right, finish off this other story. Here's all this enormous mass of material. And at the top of this strata, it isn't integrating logically. It's integrating with differentiation. And every one of the data that I'm giving you, aside from surviving the six dynamics, is derived from pure empirical testing on accumulated masses of data which had already been evaluated. Logic, topology, and symbolic logic observed here. But boy, they only went up the tone scale to a certain distance. And after that, brother, you're on your own. Now, the rest of the data in the last 60 days has just been spent in doing nothing but sorting this stuff out and finding out what got a reaction on the pre-clear. I've told you two things that got a violent reaction on the pre-clear. I'll tell you a third that gets a uniformly violent action on Homo sapiens. And that is trying to change the motion of the opposite sex. And you'll find right there, you'll find yourself sitting in the middle of what's wrong with marriages and female and male relationships. That's what good old Papa Freud was looking for. What is it? And what's a technique to run it? Well, don't turn that one on your pre-clear lightly, sort of, you know, snap your fingers over it over the supper table or something of the sort, because his skulls practically fly out of the room. Stopping the motion of the opposite sex, or trying to change the motion of the opposite sex, or trying to start the opposite sex into motion. What do you know? If you go into sympathy with something, you are imitating its form, its motions, and its speed. How do you go into sympathy with something? By imitating its form, motions, and speed. That's how you go into sympathy with something. And there is some guy living with the opposite sex. The only way he's possibly got that he won't become a woman is to stop that goddamn female motion. And the only way she can possibly keep on being a woman and not suddenly become a man is these men. Stop them cold. Change them. Do something with them. It's just this fact. The woman can't imitate the man without becoming a man. The man can't imitate the woman completely without becoming the woman. Because the tenure of beingness in a body, you think it's tough in trying to make the theta clear. That's only because every time you tell somebody to step out of their body, if you tell him five often enough to step out of his body, he just glues himself in tighter and tighter and tighter. Reverse vector, see? All right, because he's fighting the body. The one place he wouldn't be is the body, so that's where he's winding up every time. His terminals keep collapsing, so you tell a fellow often enough, he becomes a body. Well, the same way, this woman has the terrible problem on her mind that she is really so lightly in a body. She is really so little a body, really so little a woman, that there's just nothing to just kind of sliding across and becoming Henry. This is too easy. You start doing matching terminals, and you just match two terminals of the people she normally faces up facing each other, and the more doggone stuff will start running off of these terminals. She won't even know what's running off of them. They'll just be a vibration, one way or the other. But what will be running off of them mainly is no men's motions, please. No men's motions. No men's motions. Mustn't move like a man. Mustn't think like a man. Mustn't do like a man. They start in little kids that old, and they teach little girls, and the only way you could keep little girls being little girls is to say, now listen, little boys might do that, but you, Prunella, had certainly better not, because you're a nice little girl, and you're supposed to do otherwise. And they say to the little boy, now look, don't do that, that's sissy. See, they gang up, and what do you know? It puts a block on 50% of the beingness available in Homo sapiens. He can't be 50% of it because he's compulsively being. If he were just being, you see, it wouldn't matter. If he were being by self-determinism, he could be a man, he could be a woman, it wouldn't matter. He could flip back and forth, in the bag, nothing to it. But compulsively, he's under compulsion and under duress, and he's under this terrific force. I'm not supposed to communicate with his body, so he's right there in it, you see. Smash. Tight. Now he finds himself at 50% of the race. He has to keep his fixed attention on and say, don't move. Because if you move, I'll have to imitate you, and I don't dare be you, and therefore let's get married. Very logical, isn't it? So you just set the pre-clear down, just tell him to get mock-ups of men and women facing each other, or tell him to get the general idea stopping the motion of women if he's a man. Some of you freak, there's nothing much going to happen. Some of them, you better watch out. You better stand by with the Epsom salts because you're not taking him up toward present time. Oh, brother! You just take him back practically half the length of the track, just swoosh. With everything goes into violent motion. Bricklayers don't like it when women start flying out of mock-ups in this direction and flying out the other direction, smashing them in the face here. All out of control. That's the one thing they're not supposed to do. They're supposed to control things. Everybody tells them that. That's the other thing that a preacher has been trying consistently and continually to do. He's been trying to control things, not be them. You see, you could control a body very easily. All you'd have to do is walk up and you'd say to yourself, all right, I'm body. You don't have to hypnotize yourself or anything of the sort. I mean, no nonsense. You just say, well, I'm body now. I'm be body now. And let's see, the body is walking like this, so I'll just get behind the body, and I'll walk like this, and I'll just walk forward into the body, and now I'll make the body stop. The body will stop. Honest, it's that simple. It's just that simple. There's nothing to it. It's so simple that you couldn't believe it. Now, he said he doesn't want to be the body anymore. And my, it was wonderful being this body and just back. So, yeah, that's all. The way you do it, of course, though, is say, I never want to be a body. I've got to be a body. I've got to keep these terminals apart. I've got to get these terminals together. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to keep everything under control. I've got to organize. You've got some pre-clears that have really got this bad, you see. I've got to organize it. Their whole life is lying behind them in chaos. But I've got to organize it. Oh, brother. They're given this terminals here, flows there, everything's got to go this way, everything's got to go that way, I've got to force this into place, smash into the body. You come along, see odd for you, say, be 2 feet back your head. Huh? Who? Me? Oh, I'm a body, I know that. I've not only known that for a long time, but you're not going to get me out of being a body because I am a body, because I got it all organized as a body, and it's all my own organization, and I'm very logical about the whole thing, why I'm in the body. And I can explain to you any moment why I'm in a body. I wouldn't be able to get along without a body because, you see, it's very logical why I wouldn't be able to get along without a body, because of concatenated gradient scales of logic. I am a body, and therefore I am a body in there. And anything about this, and if I got out of my body, the psychiatrist would give me an electric shock to make me get back in my body. I know. I'm very logical about the whole universe. It's just this nonsensical. But that's actually a very fast summary of about the way the mind's working on this subject. Although I'm ridiculing it, it's really the straight way that it's working. I'm saying, I don't dare be that terminal. Let's keep a good close eye on it so I won't be it. Whoops, I am it. It's bad over there. All right, I want to tell you the three basic things that a being is when he first comes into the universe, and maybe you'll understand a little bit more about this. There are three things that he can be. One, two, three. A black cloud, a white cloud, and a vacuum. One, two, three. Black cloud, white cloud, and a vacuum. You can have an awful lot of fun with your pre-clear if you just suddenly say to your pre-clear, all right, mark yourself up as a white cloud, mark yourself up as a black cloud, and mark yourself up as a vacuum. I can't be a vacuum. That's silly. You know what I told you earlier tonight, this idea of trying to be nothing? Well, brother, that's the one thing he can't be. You know? Well, I can't be this vacuum. Well, I'll be a white cloud again. That's a funny thing. I often get the idea I'm floating around in white clouds. Well, just be a white cloud. Okay, be a white cloud. All right, and I'll be a black cloud. Say, you know, this is the realest thing I've ever been, a black cloud. What do you know? Well, why don't you be a white cloud facing a white cloud? Well, I am, but they come together. Well, that's all right. No, it isn't, because you can't tell them apart when they come together. Two white clouds and they come together. Gee, this is bad. Well, why don't you be a black cloud again? Well, this is all right, because you can tell them apart. How can you tell them apart, you say, mysteriously, mystified. Oh, you just can. Nuts. Now, you see, white clouds get opposite white clouds, and black clouds get opposite black clouds, and white clouds get opposite white clouds. Black clouds get opposite white clouds, and vacuums get near vacuums, and this fills that, and you get inequalities, and you get motion. Those are the three basic things a person can be. And what's this vacuum? It's the hidden influence. It says nothing. That's how hidden it can be, nothing. Nothing there either. And what happens when you get one of these hidden influences around? Why does a guy think there's a hidden influence? Well, he's sailing along as a white cloud, and he's perfectly all right, and all of a sudden he's in half. He's in two pieces. How'd he get that way? Well, he never explains this. Well, the way he got that way was either running into a black cloud or a slice of a black cloud or hitting an area of vacuum. That's very easy. Or he was the hidden influence. He saw a white cloud sailing along very nicely. He said, you're not going to play a joke on this guy. So he just sails up as a hidden influence and makes the fellow think he's sliced in half. Good joke. Except later on down the track, this fellow's certain that there's a hidden influence someplace. Is it a dangerous influence? No. But because the meshed universe is so damaging, if you overlook some of its data, and you, as a body, can be put to so much trouble. If you don't believe this sometime, turn over the loading of ammunition aboard a naval vessel to a gang of monkeys and have them just throw the shells any old way down a magazine hatch. And I think you would find out that there is a wrong way you could do something in the messed universe if you're trying to hold on to some organized messed. Now, of course, messed does not organize well. It organizes very poorly. And the big gag is there isn't any reason why you have to organize mess. What's wrong with chaos?
You say we'll immediately walk.
No, chaos, that's no... Look, if you can't tolerate a chaos, you're never going to get off the merry-go-round. If you cannot at will tolerate a chaos, because you won't be able to accept 100% across the board's existing state of being, and that is present time. What is the existing state of being? It's present time. And what is it? Is it organized? Well, boy, it's organized from the standpoint that all beingness in this universe is engaged in keeping terminals apart. If you don't believe that, look at the sun, look at Earth, look at people, look at houses, look at businesses. Everything's kind of held apart, meaning, you know, you have to have energy. If you hold two terminals apart, you get energy, and you have to have energy. Everybody knows that, except you don't have to have. All right. Now, you look at this universe, and you find out then that the existing state of being consists of a rather disorderly, but perhaps rather well-ordered, who cares? Depends on how you look at it, universe. And in order to find present time, a free-clear's got to accept the existing state of being. But there are two ways of doing that. Could he be at present time anything around at will and then unbe it? Well, he's really faced reality and he's in command of the situation. And by golly, that fellow can do anything. He's in wonderful condition. And the other one is, well, I have to face reality. I'll just have to make the best of it. I'll have to tolerate what's going on. We'll have to be patient and tolerant. Oh, boy, that's way downscale. That fellow couldn't unbe what he's being. You see? He can't unbe. And he's closing terminals, and he's holding things apart, and he's in terrible condition, but he can't relax about present time. You ought to be able to relax or tighten up about present time at will. This peace that you're looking for, relaxation, happiness or contentment, something like that, that feeling of peace that you're looking for is actually an ability not to accept as a slave present time, but just to be present time.